Episode 187, BulaNetwork.com. There are a ton of things that they sound good. They sound wise. But on further examination, they're really stupid. I'm going to talk about some of these things next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. We are all about getting new customers, serving customers better, and not going crazy in the process. Seth Godin is probably guilty or credited with the whole take permission phenomenon. That is, you know, don't wait. Don't wait for somebody to give you permission. Just go ahead and take permission. You may not agree with today's show, but I take permission is taking a heavy, heavy toll on excellence. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you will subscribe to the podcast. I would invite you to. Bula, by the way, is a Fiji term. It means life. In particular, it means life is good. I think it is. And so in 1997, when I started doing this kind of stuff, this stuff is primarily coaching CEOs and business owners. It just seemed fitting that Bula would be part of the name of the company, so it is. But let's get to the point. It is said that apprenticeship began in the late Middle Ages, you know, which would put it somewhere around the 1300s. I'm not sure. I am sure. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I think it began much, much sooner. I mean, you can read about it in the Old Testament. Okay, maybe it wasn't something that was quite so structured as maybe it was when you get to the 1300s, where artisans or people of some skill, some experience would decide to teach it to someone else, typically a younger person. But you can read in the Bible, and you can read about this younger prophet, Elisha, and as Elijah is taken up into heaven and his mantle drops, Elisha literally picked up the mantle. The mantle was officially passed onto the younger prophet. And we're talking 9th century BC, well before the 1300s. And of course, you go into the New Testament and you see a young evangelist named Timothy who's traveling with the Apostle Paul. So I rather suspect that older people have been passing on their skills, their wisdom, and their experiences, and the responsibility to the next generation, probably since the beginning. And perhaps it began with a father passing something on to a son. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about artisans or if we're talking about prophets. I'm rather certain that not every craft was the domain of everybody who decided that they wanted to hang their shingle out or put their sign out, advertising themselves to be something that they had not yet learned. Yes, these were the days long before this whole take permission mess. I mean, nobody would dare take permission without first earning the right to know what they were doing. And, well, think of how society would have been mangled if they had. I mean, can you imagine the blacksmith opening up without knowing how to properly shoe a horse or fix a wagon wheel? But because he had a hammer and he had an anvil and whatever that fire pit was called himself a blacksmith. Well, I don't care how burly he was. The fact that he had never learned the craft, the fact that he hadn't perfected the craft under the tutelage of someone else, didn't give him permission to wreak havoc on the community and crippling their horses, by the way, and their wagons to boot. You know, poor guy, if he'd lived in 2013, he could have just taken permission. You know, who cares? Who cares if you've got any skill or talent or know-how for it? I mean, forget the fact that we don't need blacksmiths anymore. It's just a minor detail. Let's just open the gate and let's let everybody in. If you want to do it, if it sings to your heart, if it's your passion. Yeah, no, I'm not going to get sidetracked on the whole passion thing. Story for another day. Well, hang on. Wait a minute. It is 2013, and it's just too late because this has already happened. This has already happened. The gate has been opened. The barrier of entry has been removed. Anyone can be anything that they want to be. Somebody pointed me over, and I'm not going to name names, and I certainly do not espouse myself to have, you know, any kind of a big popular presence online, whether it's podcasting or anything else. But I have a lifetime of communicating with people behind me, and I have stood before live audiences, and I've done a fair amount of public communication. Communication and articulating a thought are at least reasonable skills that I possess in terms of experience, in terms of training, in terms of studying, in terms of practice. Someone pointed me to a podcast, and the poor fellow. And by the time I had checked it out, there were seven or eight episodes, and this was not the fellow's first podcast. And of course I should have known. I was directed to this because someone had found it rather comical, because the poor fellow's just terrible, absolutely terrible. And I couldn't get through. I went to the first episode and I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the seventh or eighth, whatever the most recent episode was. And I thought, okay, well, after seven, surely, no, you get to the seventh one and the poor fellow's just worse than he was in number one, probably. And I generally felt badly for him. And I had already been thinking about this. In fact, I already had kind of a rough draft of some of the show notes written to this, which you can find, by the way, at BulaNetwork.com/187. And it did reinforce the whole subject of today's show. It did reinforce this whole, is there no price to be paid? Is there no barrier of entry? And are we really better off? Or this is the question. Are we better off because there is no barrier of entry? Are we better off because everybody can just take permission? I mean, are we really? You realize that there are something like 3 million blog posts written daily. Can you believe that? Is that not unbelievable to you? I just found that staggering. Nearly 3 million blog posts written a day. Who's got time to check all this stuff? Who's got time to read all this stuff? And of course, podcasting is someone said to me the other day, you know, they were inquiring about the resurgence. That was the term, the resurgence of podcasting. It certainly is experiencing a surge. I don't know that it is a resurgence. It still is a relatively young craft for sure. It's young technology, really. I mean, when did it begin? 2004. And admittedly, there are lots of podcasts out there, not nearly as many as there are blogs. And there are not many, nearly as many as are being updated with any great regularity. You'll find tons and tons and tons of podcasts over at iTunes that have been completely abandoned. Well, shoot, I've got a few that I've abandoned. And I suppose those of us that have been in this game for any length of time, we've got a few of those. Am I saying that we should not be able to democratize content creation? Am I saying that we should not be able to voice our opinion? Am I saying that a person should not be allowed to buy a microphone, for instance, and start a podcast, even if they're bad at it? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm merely posing the question. Well, okay. I'm stating a belief. That's for sure. If everybody can get in, how good can it be? I mean, really, if everybody can do it, if everybody can claim to do it, if everybody can take on the seeming responsibility to do it, does that mean that they're capable of doing it? I mean, the poor fellow that has 7 or 8 episodes of this podcast, and best I could tell, this was like the 3rd podcast. Is he accomplishing anything? Are we better for having him? No, because nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to listen. And it could be argued, truthfully, it could be argued, well, what's it hurting? Well, you know, is he benefited by it? Is he benefited by it? Have you ever coached someone that wanted to do something and maybe you had to just finally sit down and tell them, listen, this is not your cup of tea. You really should find something that you're good at because this ain't it. Yeah. Shouldn't we have those conversations? Shouldn't somebody have those conversations with us? I mean, if it's not your cup of tea, wouldn't you rather know? And wouldn't you rather get on about the business of finding what is your cup of tea? And just saying, just throwing it out there. Not everybody is a writer. Not everybody is a blogger. Not everybody is a podcaster. Not everybody is a graphic designer. Not everybody is a dentist. Not everybody is a lawyer. Not everybody is fill in the blank. Because there are so many things in life that still do require some degree of admission. Admission. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Now, does it mean that we should be exclusive and we shouldn't let people try to gain entrance? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we open that gate and when we remove all the barriers and we say, come on in, the water's fine. What about the people who can't swim? Do we really want them in? I mean, don't they distract from the fun and frivolity that we might be able to have because they're over there drowning and now, okay, well, we got to go save them. You know, who let them in? Why did they, you know, this gate that is around the pool, you can't swim, dude, stay out. That's what those big lounge chairs up there are for. But no, it's take permission. When I was a kid, we were in a hotel and there were a bunch of us that were at this hotel. We were there for an event and I was just a kid and there were some people in the pool and some of us were just standing around. We were visiting and there was a kid who had been in the shallow end of the pool. And I guess he was so young, he had no concept that there was a shallow end and a deep end to the pool. Well, the next thing you know, he's in the deep end of the pool and he's in trouble. He's in trouble. In fact, as I recall, his big brother had to jump in fully clothed to pull the kid out because he was too ignorant at the time to understand that this thing is, it's not level. There's a deep end. There's a shallow end. So we've all got to pay the price for his stupidity. Really? I mean, aren't we surrounded enough by ninnies and idiots that it really compromises the quality of all of our work? Yes, absolutely it does. And isn't there something to a necessary resistance to prove not only to the person who wants to execute this thing or do this thing, but to prove to the rest of us that this person is worthy of this thing because they're willing to pay the price. They're willing to pay the price to do it. I mean, is there no value in that? I think there is. I think there is. Now, to be sure, I'm not saying that there's no resistance. I mean, we do not live in a resistant-free world, and we never will. I don't care about take permission and all that. There's going to be resistance. The market is going to resist us. Other people are going to resist us. We're going to have resistance in our own head. So we are going to have these challenges. And it is going to take a degree of determination and tenacity, but man, I have encountered, and surely you have too, just think about it. Have you not encountered people that do have a degree of tenacity to pursue something and you see that, man, they just can't do it? You see it in these talent shows. You see it in these television talent shows, whether it's The Voice or Idol or X Factor or any of these others. And you see people that believe that they honestly have something that it takes. And until they get on stage and publicly humiliate themselves, they really don't know. And some of those, even after they are publicly humiliated, they don't believe it. They don't believe these so-called judges or experts. And you can see it. You can see it in their face. They walk off the stage fully convinced these guys are wrong. These guys are wrong. I'm the next Elvis. They're just too stupid to recognize it. And maybe in their head, they're considering that as confidence, you know, because everybody tells us you must be confident. You must be confident. If you're going to succeed, you must be confident. But where is the difference between being confident and being delusional? I mean, there is a difference. And I guess wisdom is being able to discern which is which. And it might start out being delusional and then it morphs into confidence because perhaps over time you have practiced and honed your craft. And then there's always that unassuming person. You know, there was a young girl that was on The Voice some nights ago, and she had only begun singing like 2 years ago. Really didn't know that she could sing. Lived in some little bitty town. She'd never sang before an audience. Even forget the TV audience, just the in-person audience in the studio where The Voice is recorded. She'd never at all sang in front of a crowd that large. And she did spectacularly well, by the way. But it was really easy to tell. I mean, she got two bars in and it was like, okay, kid's got talent. Kid's got talent. Yeah, it was a little bit raw. And then, no, nobody picked her, but they did the right thing. They all told her, you're 9 months to a year away. You need to work on this and you need to come back. Well, now they don't say that to everybody, but all four judges said, you need work on it and come back. You need to come back next year. So they felt like she was close. Well, okay. That's encouragement. And this is a young person that would obviously be served well to be an apprentice, you know, to learn, take permission to learn and take permission to find someone. I guess that's the part that really gets me. That's the part that gets me. And what got me on this crusade was about a month ago, I was having a conversation with a couple of people and the topic turned to selling and the topic turned to, and these were not sales people. These were not people who made their living in sales. And one of them had done it in a prior life and the others had not. And we were discussing, for some reason, it came up in the conversation. How did I feel? What did I feel? Did I feel there was value in somebody having an experience in selling, in face-to-face selling? What did I believe were the benefits of that? Well, it touched a nerve because I have an opinion about that, as you can well imagine. And I said, I think most everybody in business would be well served, no matter what their role. I don't care if they're an IT person. I don't care if they're in a typical non-marketing, non-sales kind of a thing. and especially people that want to be leaders, managers, anyone that even fathoms being entrepreneurial, whether that is inside a company or whether that's outside a company, I think there's huge lessons and there's huge value to be learned by selling and by having the experience of dealing with the public. And I really focused on the latter, just knowing how to deal with people. I was sent a book. I won't mention the title because I plan on doing a review, and it basically is a book about customer service. And some of the reviews that have been and the reviews that I've read about it have all been favorable. And I mean, come on, most reviews of books, they are favorable. You know, people try to be kind, and especially I freely admit someone, the author sent me this book, and this happens from time to time. And I for the most part don't review them. I do plan on reviewing this one. I'm in the midst of reading it now, and I'll give an honest appraisal of it. But the reason I am going to review it is because it is about customer service, and I'm fanatical, just absolutely fanatical about customer service. And one of the reasons that I want to review it, even though it has been somewhat criticized, kindly criticized, as being somewhat basic and perhaps a primer, is because I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we need a primer. And it speaks to the point that I was making with these fellows about the value of being in the trenches and learning some of this stuff, learning how to deal with people, being face-to-face and toe-to-toe and belly-to-belly, as we say, and dealing with the public and trying to have a conversation and find out what people need and trying to serve people and help people and, yes, help people buy, is that, yes, as fundamental and as basic as that is, we've got tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people. Well, all you have to do is go out. Go out, go to any store, go to any restaurant, go to a health club, go anywhere you want. Just go out in public and have people serve you and just see how that goes. I mean, come on. We all know every day we have pathetic service. Is it because people are hateful? No. In large part, I think, and I would argue, it's because there are so many people that just haven't been taught manners. And yes, I have an opinion about that too. I think there are way too many moms and dads that haven't taught their kids how to behave. And now that you've got these kids in retail locations and you've got these kids behind counters and helping people, not a clue. Not a clue. And I've got way too many stories, having run retail operations for the bulk of my career. I can just tell you, kids that come from good homes, good being defined as mom and dad make a lot of money, they live in a big house and they drive fancy cars, which is how most people think that's a good home. Yeah. Well, they don't have a clue how to say thank you or please or sir or ma'am, because nobody taught them. There's the rub. There's the rub. For me, the rub in this whole take permission, and the reason that I believe it is taking a heavy toll on excellence, excellence in our companies, excellence in our accomplishment, is because if there is no barrier of entry, then that necessarily means, you know what? Take permission. No, you don't have to learn anything. You don't have to be taught anything. I know that's not what Mr. Godin meant, but there are so many people that have taken it and run with it that take permission just means you make up your mind that you want to do it. He didn't mean, I don't think, don't learn anything. Just dive out there. Just put a sign up that says you're a blacksmith. Forget learning the craft of being a blacksmith. I encounter way too many people almost every single week who dive into some area that they want to pursue, usually a business idea. They have not a single skill set for it. They have no experience at it, but they want to declare that it's their passion. And I'm like, define this for me. How is this a passion? Just because you want to do it. And here's what I've discovered. For many, you know what the passion is? Well, it ain't their own. They've read a blog. They've seen someone else. They've met someone else. They've heard some outlier story. That story has become their passion. Not the craft. Not doing whatever it is, you know, to do. And by the way, yeah, okay, I couldn't go without commenting on the whole passion thing. I just don't believe that everything that we do, I don't believe it can be our passion. That's for starters. B, I don't even think it should be our passion. I think there is responsibility, and I think there is something really, really hard charging in our ability to do a good day's work and at the end of the day to feel good about what we've accomplished, even though what we accomplished, whether it's laying a brick or digging a ditch or burying a cable, I had to have the cable coming into the yellow studio replaced. Internet connection just got wonky, and it was wonky for a long time, and I kept fiddling with Time Warner. I can't say enough bad things, by the way. Speaking of customer service, Time Warner has pathetic customer service. And if I had other options, I would exercise those options, but I don't. Anyway, come to find out, yeah, the cable coming into the yellow studio, cable modem, about 10 years old. And the guy says, well, the life of these is probably about 7 or 8. So there's a problem with the cable. Well, then some guys come out and they bury the cable. So, okay. Can you be passionate about burying cable? Well, I don't know how, but maybe somebody can, but is it necessary? So the guys that came out and buried the cable, you tell me that they can't feel good about the cable that they buried and the good that they did to help people? I mean, how important is your internet connection? Do you care? You care at all? Yeah. How about they just leave it, you know, stretched across the parking lot or across your yard? Do you care? Do you want that cable buried? Yeah, you want it buried. You'd rather have it buried. Well, who can be passionate about that? You don't have to be. But what you can be passionate about is that you did a good day's work. You did an honest day's work. You got paid for the effort. And meanwhile, you got some cable out of some people's yards or parking lots or whatever. You were able to hide the cable. I think we've completely lost our minds with the whole take permission thing, in that not everybody is deserving to take permission. Not everybody is worthy to have permission. It's not a bad thing to have to gain entrance into something by at least proving that A, we have the willingness to do the work. We have the willingness to learn the craft. We have the willingness to devote ourselves to trying harder. That the young lady who stands on the stage of the Voice studio, who's 14 or 15 or however old she was, that she's got the willingness to go back home to Podunkville and sing and sing and sing and sing, and next year give it a try again. And then, because I've seen two people who were on the show last year and nobody turned around, and one of them, all four turned around this year. What happened? I can tell you what happened. They took permission, but what they did is they took permission to take it seriously and to give it everything they had and to learn it. Yeah, guess what? They also had the talent. You know, because somebody could have given it twice the effort and had half the talent. Nobody was going to turn around. So we're living in this day and age of outliers, and we're living in this day and age where everybody wants to apply that outlier story to their own life and say, well, if they could do it, then so can I. How many times do you hear that? You hear it all the time. Man, listen, this happened for me. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Well, listen, that's a great sales pitch, because that's all it is. It's an absolute lie. Because not everybody can do it. Not everybody can get selected on The Voice. Not everybody can learn to do this or that. They just can't. They can't, because we're human beings and we've got limitations. There's a limit to what we can do. And as you get older, there are additional limits. And there are limits when you're younger. Some of the things that I can do today, I couldn't do when I was younger. And some of the things that I could do when I was younger, guess what? That ship sailed. I can't do it anymore. I mean, this is the stuff of life. Oh, but we want it to be equal, and we want it to be fair, and we want the opportunities to be, you know, the same for all of us. Build a bridge and get over it. They're not. They're not. The opportunities are not the same for everybody. You know, I grew up in an era where there were no computers. So when I hear a story of somebody who they started coding when they were 12, the only code that any 12-year-old would have known about when I was 12 would have been Morse code. And nobody wanted to learn that. I mean, even ham radio operators who had to learn it. Do you still have to know Morse code? Surely not. I mean, even ham operators didn't want to learn Morse code. Oh, it was a terrific invention, but come on. I have listened to, true story, there was a time where I thought, yeah, I'd like to have a ham, because I was into electronics, right? I was enough of a geek that I was into electronics, and I knew some old heads that were ham radio operators, you know, and this is back when guys built their own gear. Well, they called them rigs. They built their own rig. I don't guess anybody builds their own rig now. You know, guys built their own antennas and their own transceivers and everything. Good old days. I listened to these tapes. Man alive, you talk about something that would just absolutely drive you out of your mind. Yeah, try learning Morse code. Okay, well, I didn't have the opportunity. I just didn't have the opportunity to learn how to write computer code. It was not part and parcel of, you know, of the technology of the age in which I grew up. Shoot, I remember when television was not color. I remember when black and white TV was all you could get. And then when color TV came along, I mean, here we are now. We're in 4K HD, you know, where the advertisements say you can stand 1 inch from the screen and you can't see a pixel. Who's going to do that? I mean, are we really going to stand 1 inch from the screen? Yeah, I grew up would sit back. It'll, you know, you get too close to the TV, it'll make you sterile. Oh, man. Take permission. Just take permission. Just chase your dream. Yeah, waste your time. Waste your life. Dive into the deep end of the pool even though you don't know how to swim, and make all the rest of us panic and make all of us have to save you. Then drag your, you know what, out and scold you soundly and tell you what an idiot you are for jumping in. And don't scare me like that. Stop that. No, but we can't, right? Because, you know, especially here in America, right? Everybody can, hey, you can be anything you want to be. Well, no, you can't. You can't. About the only thing that we can all be, if we really want to be, is a loser. Yeah, but beyond that, I don't think that there's a common denominator for us all. I'm sorry, there's not. You know, some people are going to... The Kardashian split, you know, are you kidding me? Kris and Bruce, they're splitting up, evidently. I read $200 million. This family has got their net worth is estimated at $200 million. $200 million. There was, who was it? Kathy Lee Gifford. Who knew? Kathy Lee Gifford, I guess, is friends with Kris Kardashian, the mom. And she commented, she was on some morning news thing or something, and she was commenting that any time that she was over at the house, it was like in every room there was a Kardashian, there was one of the kids working a deal. And so when people say, you know, they don't know how to do anything. Oh, yes, they do. They know how to market and they know how to negotiate a deal. Now, I have no idea why people necessarily want them, but, you know, it's, hey, they've got eyeballs, right? You know, they've got people's attention. $200 million. Is that unbelievable? Have you ever gone and checked out celebritynetworth.com? I stumbled across that stupid thing a few years ago, and I can't help it. Every now and then, if some name pops up, for instance, if you have not seen this documentary on the Mannings, you've got to watch it. I don't care if you're a sports fan or not. I mean, Archie Manning and the raising of these boys, he and his wife, Olivia, is that her name? It's a grand story. It really is. In fact, he said on the Dan Patrick Show that he didn't want to do this, but his wife basically made him do it and said, yeah, you're going to do this. You're going to do it for your grandkids. And boy, I'm betting he's glad he did. Anyway, it was a terrific story. Well, you know, it comes up and I'm naturally curious. You know, the oldest son who doesn't play, they discovered he had some kind of a health issue, narrowing of the spinal column. And so he couldn't play. He had to stop playing because one blow could have paralyzed him. And he's in the oil and gas business in New Orleans. And I'm looking up, you know, can't think of it. Cooper is his name. So I'm looking up, you know, thinking, well, okay, how good's old Cooper doing? You know, I plug in celebrity net worth and yeah, Cooper's not doing, I mean, Cooper's got $15 million and, you know, Archie's got 10 and Peyton's got, you know, way more than all the rest of them. And I'm looking at this whole family and how spectacularly well-rounded they are and what seemingly good people they are and the value that they have brought not only to college football, but to professional football and Cooper in his business dealings in New Orleans. And the Kardashians have more than all of the Mannings put together. And I'm like, this is not right. No, it's not right, but that's how life is. That's the point. Doesn't have to be equal. It doesn't have to be fair because life ain't fair. I don't think that we're better off because 3 million blog posts can be written every day. And on the flip side, you could argue, well, but it is fair because the vast majority of those posts, nobody's reading. So isn't that fair? Well, here would be my counter argument. The time and the effort spent writing those 3 million blog posts, could that time and effort, could that manpower, could something better not be accomplished? I don't know how much time it takes to write 3 million blog posts. Well, let's assume that it took even, I don't have a calculator that can calculate this. I mean, if it took 15 minutes to write a blog post, I mean, if it just took 15, you know, how can I even do this? You know, then that's, what is that? That's 45 million minutes. 45 million minutes. 45 million collective man-hour minutes, and we can't do something more productive. Hey, me? Well, I've almost managed to burn 40 minutes, so. Yeah, I can hear you. I hear you. Well, nobody gave you permission to do this. No, they didn't. They didn't. I took permission. I took permission to do it. But I am up to episode 187. There is that. And that's not to mention all the countless unnumbered episodes. And that's not to mention Remarkable Retail, which I don't know how many episodes of that I did. And I did probably 100 episodes of Leaning Toward Wisdom until I rebooted. And now I got 4, I think. Listen, I may suck at this. You may have a point there. This may be just completely pathetic of me. I may be the kid on stage and nobody's turning their chair around and nobody's going to tell me, just keep working at it, Randy, keep working at it. And you come back next year. I mean, maybe everybody is sitting there wishfully thinking, dude, just stop it already. Put yourself out of your misery. I do think that the young man who wanted to learn to be a blacksmith and who studied under the tutelage of a master blacksmith, certainly he was made better, don't you think? Certainly the odds were in his favor that once he did go out on his own and start his own blacksmith shop, that he would be capable. Just saying. He had to get permission from the blacksmith to learn it. He took permission to go seek it out. And yeah, you and I both know, if he really wanted to do it and he went to one town and the guy was unwilling to share, guess what I'm doing? If I really want to be a blacksmith, yeah, you got it. I'm going till I find somebody willing to teach me. I'm just saying that we've got so many people today that are taking permission and they're not paying the dues. They're not trying to learn. We got people in business that have no sense being in business. We got people who have bought into everybody can be an entrepreneur. No, they can't. We've got people who are thinking that they can go pursue anything they want to pursue and make a living at it, and they can't. And we got a lot of people losing a lot of time and a lot of money because they've bought in to the snake oil that so many people online are selling, that if I can do it, so can you. It's not true. It's just not true. And I think it's high time we stop being delusional about these things. Can everybody serve somebody? Absolutely. Can everybody benefit somebody? Absolutely. Can everybody bring high value to somebody? Yes, you can. You can do that whether you're burying their cable or whether you're doing something that seems so much more high level than that. But it's funny, isn't it? It's funny how some of these low-level things, it's funny how that my internet being out and being wonky for about a month can be, just drive you completely insane. Or how the little remote that comes with your car key, the battery goes dead and you can't get the stinking case open, which was a problem I had recently. Not high-level stuff, but man, it's stuff that affects the quality of your life. It's not glorified, I know. Lots of ways to serve people. Lots of ways to help people. I'm going to try to do better at that. Hey, subscribe to the podcast, won't you? You can do that through iTunes or Stitcher. Leave me a review, too. That'd be great. It'd be wonderful. You can connect with me all kinds of ways. Just visit the website at Bula, BULA network.com.